All right, we're here today at the Magruder 125th anniversary plot tour here at Oklahoma State University, talking with Dean Kuhn of the DASNR division. Dr. Kuhn, tell me a little bit about the significance of today's plot tour.
Well, we're celebrating the 125th anniversary, as you said, and that's momentous. It's a long time, but I think more importantly, what it means is that we've had a long-running commitment to understanding the science behind crop production going way back to 1892 here at Oklahoma State. And so it's fun to celebrate that, but this is also an opportunity for people to learn from that. We do this. We've had 22 field days, for example, this spring across the state to talk about different wheat varieties, what we're learning about weeds in wheat, and so on. And so it really is part of our land-grant mission to be out there to not only be understanding and studying and advancing our understanding of crop science and soil science, but then turning around and making that available to growers so they can make use of that insight as they make decisions about the varieties that they choose or whether to fertilize or whether to use fungicides on their crops and so on.
So speak a little more to the milestone of this event and how it plays into the overall mission of OSU founded in research.
Well, this research began 2 years after OSU was formed, then as Oklahoma A&M. That was in 1890. The research began in 1892, and it's been going every year since then. We've raised wheat on these plots every year since then to understand the dynamics of soils, what happens to nutrients in soils, and how fertilization can alter that. We understand that completely, don't we? And the fact is, we don't. There's always something more we can learn. So for now, for example, understanding the role that the microbes play in soil in making nitrogen available and those kinds of things, those are insights that we're still discovering more about that. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps that what we call the microbiome, all the microbial organisms that might live on the plant itself, what role those play in plant health and its resistance to disease or to pests and that kind of thing. So we've been in this business for that length of time because the people of Oklahoma said we need this kind of research. So we're pleased to have a responsibility for that mission.
And so it sounds like that research and that data is coming back and really fueling some of those conservation efforts that are really being pushed in the state right now.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the no-till movement that we've had over the last 25, 30 years here in Oklahoma, that started with understanding what was going on here at the Magruder plots. And today, those Magruder plots still remain sort of a checkpoint for us, a control, if you will, as we compare what's going on neighboring plots where we're using no-till in order to conserve the soil.
Yeah. So tell me, like you said, we've been in doing these wheat tours now for the last week or two across the state. How have those gone? Have you talked to the folks that have attended? What are they saying, I guess?
Well, we've had great turnouts. Of course, it always depends on what the weather is like and whether farmers can be in the field or not. We've had a lot of wet weather, so we've had really good turnouts. But I think growers are always out there looking for new insights. Again, we're releasing two new varieties of hard red winter wheat this year from OSU. So they want to find out more about those. What's the promise of those? But also, we've got recurring issues with weeds that develop resistance to some of the herbicides that growers are using. So they're really hungry for that kind of information, and this is a great way to get it out.
And obviously, a lot of OSU's wheat seed is out there that's been planted and about to be harvested. Are you optimistic about what's going to be harvested this year?
I think it's going to be a really variable situation because we got, just yesterday driving across western Oklahoma, we've got wheat fields that have been rolled up into bales where the price of wheat is so low now. I think some growers are saying, this is going to be more valuable to me to feed the cattle than it is to harvest the crop and, pay the cutters and so on. In other areas, I've heard of people expecting bumper crops, really record yields. Some of it's coming in really good quality, high protein content. Others, not so good. So we've had such a spotty weather pattern over the growing season for this wheat crop that we're really going to see a wide range of yields, of quality, and of growers' decisions about what to do.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, you all rolled out some new wheat varieties this season, and Smith's Gold and Spirit Rider, are you all excited to see? Is that creating a buzz around the community?
Oh, it is. I think so, because, what what our wheat improvement team has done, led by Dr. Brett Carver, is they've looked for traits that can come in, that they can bring in through breeding into these lines that will give the plants more resistance to some of the diseases that are emerging or some of the insects. I was just out in Goodwell yesterday, saw a stand of Bentley, which we released, I think, 2 years ago, one of our newer varieties. It looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Aiba, right next to it, is not so fantastic. It's vulnerable to the wheat streak virus that's really emerged in the panhandle this year. But Bentley is going strong. So, you know, we just have to continue to change the genetics in order to have crops that are resistant and yet productive. Yeah. So we're looking a lot at nitrogen use efficiency as well.
Sure.
Another area where we can see improvement in our genetics.
You came out with an op-ed the other day about how DASNR is going to have to kind of tighten its belt amid some of these state budget cuts. Do you think that that's going to impact this wheat improvement team's work at all?
We're going to do everything we can to try to avoid that. Mm-hmm. I think where it's going to have the greatest impact is on our ability to get that information out through the Extension Service, because you know, we've been decimated. We've lost 19% of our state funding over the last 2 years. If we take another cut, that's going to be even more. And so we're really looking at, we're on the edge of losing that ability to have an office in every county and our ability to deliver information through those offices. So it concerns me.